All right, all of you who are ready for Children's Church, ages 4 to 6, if you want to meet Arnie and Cindy in the back, they'll take you across to Children's Church. If the rest of you will, open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 25. I don't know how many of you have heard the story. I'm not sure they've heard the story, but the story is of Gary and Linda on their first date. Supposedly, she was dressed up, ready to go, 7 p.m. However, after an hour and him not showing up, she decided, well, she'd probably been stood up. So she took off her dressed up makeup, put on her pajamas, gathered all the junk food around her, and settled down to watch the show at 9 o'clock, her favorite show on television. Well, about that time, the doorbell rings. And guess who's there? Yes, he shows up. And he, as she opens the door, with eyes wide open, he exclaimed, "I'm 2 hours late, and you're still not ready?" So, so, as I said, I'm not sure they knew that story. But you know, Jesus continuously through Scripture reminds us to be ready. To be ready. In Matthew chapter 25, we see a parable after just going through Matthew chapter 24. And all of them were wondering, when you coming back, Jesus? When you coming back? He gives them this parable. So beginning in verse 1, it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flask along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him into the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour.'" You know, Jesus spoke about his return, and he said he would come as a thief in the night. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 through 4, Paul says, "For you know quite well the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night, when people are saying, 'All is well, all is peaceful and secure.' Then disaster will fall upon them as suddenly as a woman's birth pangs and when a child is about to be born." And he said, "And there is no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. You won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief." You know, let me tell you right off, I don't like this parable. There's a lot of parables I do like. This is not one of them. I don't talk about this parable a whole lot. You don't hear this parable spoken of a whole lot in churches. Because you know there's so many other parables that talk about the things we like to hear, like the stories about Jesus where he's much more likable. The ones where he emphasizes gracious invitations, where he emphasizes mercy, where he emphasizes forgiveness. Hey, how about the story of the prodigal son? Don't you love the story of the prodigal son? The guy who went off because he was drifted away and he had to go chase his dreams. And he goes and he finds himself in a pigsty, so to speak. And he thinks, "Man, I've got it better at home than I ever had it here. Let's go back home." And when he comes home, he thinks he's going to be a slave. But rather than being a slave, he's a child. And he's given a ring and robe and he's restored. Man, that's the kind of story we like to think of when we think of Jesus. this one. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, the bridegroom came and those who were ready went with him. I want you to look at the last five words. And the door was shut. And the door was shut. You know, God will take you as you are, but this parable emphasizes there is an end to the window of opportunity. There is a time when God will look at us and say, and the door is shut. And the chance is gone. And you missed that opportunity. At the return of Christ or at your death, whichever comes first, your fate is sealed. There are no more second chances, and the door will be shut. That's why I don't like this parable. Because it doesn't emphasize that second chance. It emphasizes that there will be a time when your second chance is no more. And your fate is sealed. You know, one day history will arrive at its goal. That day is coming towards an end right now. And history will all end at His feet. In verse 2, Jesus classifies these 10. He says 5 were foolish and 5 were prudent. He makes a distinction. Scripture in several other places makes a similar distinction. It talks about the choices that we have. It talks about the broad gate and the narrow gate. It talks about the separation of the wheat and the tares, the separation. It talks about the two foundations to build your life on, the foundation built on rock and the foundation built on sand. Over and over throughout Scripture, there is distinctions of those who follow Christ and those who don't. And only God knows our heart. I heard a story about a film crew. This, you know, when they go out to film these movies, they go out different places, jungles or deserts. Well, this particular crew went out to the jungle. I mean, not jungle, the desert. And one day they were out there, and an old Indian came up to the director as they were filming and said, "Tomorrow rain come." And the director said, "Okay." Sure enough, the next day rain came. A couple of days later, the old Indian went out to him again, "Tomorrow storm come." What do you know? The next day, a hailstorm hit. So the director says, "I've got to have this guy. We're going to be out here for a couple of months. I need to know what the weather's going to be so we can know when to film these scenes." So they go and they hire this guy. And he gives them the weather for about a couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden he doesn't show up for work. They miss him several days. So they go and they find him. And the director says, "Hey, I've got to shoot a big scene tomorrow. I'm depending on you. What's the weather going to be like?" And the old Indian shrugged and said, "Me not know. Radio broken." You know, appearances can be deceiving. Sometimes you can look and think you know something when you really don't. The foolish virgins here seem to be prepared. They were locked away just right beside the prudent ones. They were waiting and awaiting the return of the bridegroom, just like the prudent ones. You probably couldn't have picked the difference. There was equal anticipation, but there was a difference in preparation. None knows when the bridegroom would return. No one knew for sure, but the way they prepared was different. All the lamps, and of course, you know, all of them were lit. They all had lamps and they all were lit. But there was one difference. Some had oil, and some didn't. Were out when the bridegroom came. A parable is a spiritual story where Jesus is trying to make a point. I want to help you understand some of the points in this story. Number one, first of all, let's consider the wedding. The wedding is the coming of Christ. It's the coming of Jesus. The rapture, when Jesus comes for His bride, and His bride is the church, when He returns to take Christians home to be with Him, all believers. Well, as the bridegroom in this story left his house, and as a bridegroom in the olden days would leave their house to make their way to get their bride, as they came toward the place where the bride awaited, she would come out with lamps. And those lamps would be lit, and they would take them, and they would march off, because most Jewish weddings were usually at night. And there would be a great celebration breakout. Well, the scriptures also remind us, when we think about the darkness of these times, if you go back one chapter to Matthew chapter 24, that when the return of Christ for His church, there's going to be a lot of dark times. It says, false prophets, which will deceive many. The world will be violent. There'll be wars. There'll be rumors of wars. It says nation will rise against nation. That word nation comes from the Greek word translated ethnos, which we get our word ethnic. So ethnic group will rise against ethnic group. Let me ask you a question. Look around the world. You got one kind of Muslim fighting another kind of Muslim. You know, 70 years ago, Jews and Germans were at, hey, how about in America these days, the blacks versus the whites? Ethnic group versus ethnic group, wars and rumors of wars, all signs of the end of time. There will be famines. There will be earthquakes. There will be Christian persecution. There will be a time of darkness. Darkness in the world, just as there was darkness as the bride awaited the return of the bridegroom. There will be apathy about life. People will be going about their business. It says, just as in the days of Noah. And then the darkest darkness and slumber of night, when people do not expect Him, the bridegroom will return and the wedding will be on. And it says here, secondly, not only about the wedding, but the virgins. These virgins represent professing Christians. You've got five who were prudent, and you've got five who were foolish. Let's talk about the difference. The foolish ones took their lamps, but it says they had no oil. They had no oil in them. What is oil? Oil is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It keeps us as Christians. It's the mark of Christ in our life, the Holy Spirit. They look good on the surface. These foolish virgins look good on the surface. But they're like the seed that's planted by the rocky soil. The Word of God has, they've heard the Word of God, but they've never responded to the Word of God. It's never made its way into their heart. They're like the ones who stand before the Lord. And on that last day, it says they will cry out, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do that? And then let me tell you what the scariest words in the Bible are. Scariest words in the Bible is when Jesus looks at them and says, depart from me, I never knew you. They thought they had their ticket to heaven punched, and the Lord looked at them and said, depart from me, I never knew you. These are like these five foolish virgins. They're waiting on the return of Christ. But they're not ready. There's no oil. There's no Holy Spirit. There's nothing in their life that is a mark of Christianity. What's the mark of the? How do you know that there's oil in your life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Marks of the Holy Spirit in your life. Foolish ones had lamps, but they had no oil. The Word of God never made it into their heart. They heard it. They liked it. But they didn't live it. Never took root. They're like the old Texas saying, they were all hat, no cattle. Nothing substantial. You know what they might say? You know what they want to do in the story? Hey, let me borrow some of your oil. Can't do it. Can't do it. You know, they kind of associated their hope on other Christians. There's people in our churches who their association with God is not on their life, but on other people. Hey, my mom went to church all her life. Yeah, used to take me to church. Or my dad was a deacon at the church. I even used to go to church. We can associate that with other things, but it does us no good to try and borrow oil from other believers, because only Jesus can give us hope. Only Jesus can give what saves. And here in the story, well, go and buy you some real quick. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, it says the bridegroom arrived and the door was shut. And the door was shut. They waited too long, and the door was shut. It was the idea of good intentions. Hey, one day I'm going to get right with God. One day I know I need to do this. One day I'm going to get there. But the day never came. It's the person who one day is going to get there, but will find and the door is shut unless they make that decision before. Then Jesus speaks of the five wise virgins. They took oil for their lamps. They took oil in case the bridegroom delayed. They didn't know when the bridegroom was coming back either. But they made preparation. These are the Christians who continually, faithfully look for Jesus with eagerness. The number one priority of their life is to be faithful, to keep their souls ready for the coming of Jesus. Fresh oil and a living flame is only maintained by walking with the Lord. The oil can burn out. The power of the Spirit in our life can grow low unless we continuously give over our hearts to the Lord on a daily basis. What's the scripture tell us? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means continuously, not just one time, but continuously go before the Lord and ask Him to take control of your heart and life each day. If not, the lamp of our life can run out. We can be low on oil. The time to make preparation is now. As Jesus gave this story to those followers, He was telling them one important thing: be ready for my return. You know, JFK, John F. Kennedy, is quoted as saying, "The time to repair the roof is when the sun is shining." That makes a lot of sense to me. I don't want to be up there when it's raining trying to repair the roof. The time to repair the roof is when the weather's good. This parable is about preparing to meet Jesus. In all likelihood, most of us will meet the Lord at a time not of our choosing. We don't get to decide when that day will come or when that time will be. The key is this: will you be ready? Are you ready today? We prepare for eternity by walking with God. No one is ready to meet God in death until they have met Him in life. How many of you used to watch that TV sitcom called MASH? How many of you watch MASH? That's a lot of it. I never liked MASH a whole lot, but I know a lot of people did because it was the number one show forever and ever. Well, in that story, MASH, in one of the episodes, there was a guy named Hawkeye, Alan Alda. And he was called out to the front lines. Apparently they had a shortage of doctors at the front lines. And so they called Hawkeye to go up to the front lines and doctor there. Well, when he arrives, bombs are exploding. Bullets are whizzing by his head. And he realizes it's different there than where he came from. And he realizes his own life is in great danger. So he takes out a pen and he starts to write in those few moments. He starts to write out his last will and testament. Eventually, another doctor arrives, and so Hawkeye is able to go back to the 4077 MASH unit there. And it's late at night when he arrives. But instead of going home and going to bed, he goes to his office. And he takes out some paper and he begins to sit at his desk and write the conclusion of that will. And then Klinger, you know Klinger, the guy that was way before his time? He comes in and he sees what Hawkeye's doing. And he says, hey, no paperwork is worth doing. It's so important that it can't wait until tomorrow. And Hawkeye kind of slowly looks and thoughtfully looks up from where it's writing. And he said, you know, I used to think that way, but not anymore. It was not until he came face to face with the bullets flying right by him on the front line that he saw the great importance of being prepared for eternity. Are you prepared for eternity this morning? I hope that you are. Because we don't know when the bridegroom is coming to receive his bride, us the church. But it will be, the scripture says, first of all, at a time we don't expect. He will come like a thief in the night. If you were expecting a thief, you'd be ready. The return of Christ is going to be unexpected. And let me tell you something. There is nothing in Scripture as I read it that tells me that Christ could not return this afternoon. That's how close I think we could be. And again, it may be 100 years. I don't know. But when you read the Scripture and you read the condition of the world and you see what is there and what has got to be fulfilled, everything prophecy-wise has been done that needs to be done for Christ to return. Don't be like the foolish virgins who sit in church but have no oil in their lamp. Don't depend on your mom's faith, your dad's faith, your brother's faith, your sister's faith, or your grandparents' faith. It only comes from Jesus. And you have to ask, are you prepared for eternity? Is there oil in your lamp? If you're a Christian here today, is there evidence of a real relationship that you have with Christ? I mean, is the Holy Spirit got control of your life? I really believe the day may be coming soon when Christ is going to bust through those clouds and we're going to see Him face to face. Are you ready? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that reminds us to be ready, to be prepared. Because Lord, one of these days, we're excited to think about how you're going to come and take us home to spend eternity with you. I pray that everyone here today is ready for that. If there's someone here today who's not or unsure, that you might speak to their hearts during this moment and this time of invitation. Lord, I pray that no one would ever have to know that the door is now shut. Lord, while the door is open, while the invitation is given, that we might respond to your grace and to your mercy and what you showed us on the cross when you paid the penalty for our sin. Lord, if there's anyone here today who is not ready, I pray that they would not wait another moment. Just a moment, Lord, I pray as we sing that they would step out, come forward, and confess their sin and ask you to forgive them and become Lord of their life. Lord, may we respond as we hear your Holy Spirit speak. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let's stand as we sing.